Welcome to Conversations for this Thursday morning. My name is Eddie Nix, and my guest this morning is the delightful Christina Dahlhausen. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Don't you love this? This is like Freddie Slack's theme song from back in the 40s.
Excellent. You know? Yeah.
And it's called Strange Cargo, which always made me think, what's that about?
Yeah.
Right?
I've carried around some really interesting things in my pockets.
Yeah.
You know, strange cargo.
Right.
You know, what could be attached?
Yeah. I always wondered, like, how deep Freddie, for those of you who don't know, Freddie Slack was this boogie-woogie piano player who lived in Viroqua in the 1910s.
Yeah. Yeah, what house did he live on? Don't you know the Freddie Slack house?
Yeah, it's right next to, right behind the war memorial there on Main Street.
Okay.
So a younger family just bought it last year.
Oh, that
or two.
Big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful house. Mm-hmm. They restored it really well. Anyway, I always wondered how deep he was in with the mob because, you know, he started out in Chicago in the 20s and then, you know, the L.A. thing. And there were, anyway, I digress. How are you, Christina?
Oh, I'm doing great today. It's a beautiful day out there today.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, Christina's a local denizen of Viroqua and is involved heavily with the music community. And that's what we're going to focus mostly on, although there are no rules.
Yes, we can sidetrack.
How'd you end up here in Viroqua?
Well, let's see here. I moved here in 2016. Yes, 2016, from the Madison area. And essentially, when I was working in the Madison area, I was actually working at the Stoughton Opera House and worked there for a good 10 years and helped build that place from like 10 shows a year to 80. And right before my eyes, I saw it happen. You know, what can happen if you bring music to a rural community. Now Stoughton is, you know, Madison essentially, but before you knew it, restaurants were moving in, people were moving to the area. There's like, it put Stoughton like on the map, you know, this opera house and the musicians that we were bringing in. And before you knew it, you know, I had a pretty extensive like vinyl collection too. And this is how I booked, you know, essentially the opera house was I'd look through the vinyl selection and I'd go, who's alive? Okay. You know, let's bring in Judy Collins, you know, let's bring in the Smothers Brothers. Bring in Arlo Guthrie. And before you knew it, you know, a scene was being created and more people were coming to town. And that's kind of how I got my start in the music business on that side. I've always been a musician. So, you know, I spent a good part of my days, like whether I was like writing songs or being a musician or actually putting musicians on stages. And then in 2016, you know, throughout that 10 years at the Opera House, I had three boys and all very different, very rambunctious. You probably know them in the community because they aren't quiet. they go by their own rules. But really wanted to bring them into a community where it wasn't feeling like where, you know, it was basically living outside the Madison area, nothing against it. It was an awesome time, but I never felt like I was part of a community, you know, because it was always like these bedroom communities that were there. I don't know. It just like either you have to like be born there or something like that. So one other thing. So and then basically 2016 moved to the Viroqua area because of the schools and because of the people. And, you know, it was just small enough of a community where you could have your kids kind of run around and we take care of each other, and that's how I ended up here. I didn't have a job. I just kind of relied on, you know, something's going to work out. You know, I know I probably have some skills that might be useful to this, you know, small town, and before you knew it, things started opening up for me.
And did you guys have that homesteady ideal when you moved here?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have chickens and goats, and it's just going to grow all our own food. And
of course, we even, like, you know, dabbed in the CBD world where we were growing an acre of CBD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we were, or hemp, you know, we wanted to get in on that movement, but it failed. The crop, you know, we did the investment and like, and had a greenhouse and had the whole thing. We thought we were like right in and then put it in, some soil that was, probably a little bit, didn't drain as well, more sandy or clay kind of thing. And they just died, and it was the saddest thing. And, you know, but as farming goes, you know, I'm a farm girl from Iowa. I know how things go. Mm-hmm. You know, some succeed, some don't. You got to keep moving on.
Yeah.
You know, losses, gains.
So with the Stoughton Opera House,
yes.
Was that always maintained, or did it kind of go through a similar thing like Viroqua where, oh, this is all run down and we have to raise a bunch of money to renovate it? Or was it always kept in its condition?
Actually, no. It was a hot mess. You know. Like there was the roof was off and there was birds living in there, and it was and that was back in like between the 1950s and the 1980s. It kind of just went into disrepair, and then in 1980s, this always happens. Like somebody comes out like goes into retirement and decides to restore a building.
Yeah.
You know, and there was this guy named John Vondren and his wife, and they went into retirement, and they basically, it was a community-led effort to put the opera house Humpty Dumpty back together again. And millions of dollars of donations, but it was no taxpayer money. It was just, you know, people working together and lots and lots of volunteer hours. And they put it all back together. And then 2001, it reopened to, excuse me, it's morning time and it's live radio. They put it all back, and in 2001 it reopened back up to the public, and then about 2005 or so I got on, and then we really started, you know, rolling.
Yeah.
You know, with shows. And
well, it's an amazing success, and
yeah.
The amount of musicians that you've got through there over the years is mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some really amazing ones. So back to this idea of community.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm really trying to spend some time thinking about these days, what community means, especially in the context of where we are here in Viroqua. I had this thought the other day as I was doing my radio show on Sunday, and I sort of blurbed it out, like, you know, because I see a lot of people at the bookstore who come to town and they come for something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not definable. It's not like, oh, we're coming for this.
Yes.
We're kind of coming for Viroqua. But what does that mean, and why, what, you know, and a lot of people just say we love the people. We love not watching, but seeing the people. And I'm like, okay, well, the people aren't that much different than in other places. But I think it's the community. I think people just living a simple life and, you know, that there's an actual draw for that. You know, people from the city want to feel like they're in a place where it's not alienated and chaotic and people actually know each other and say hello. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what does community mean to us?
Those are all good thoughts. I mean, there's a simple kind of life here, but then also there's a really progressive kind of way. Like I can find myself like walking down the main street or in the co-op or wherever. And we're not just talking about the weather. Yeah. We might start out like, oh, it's a beautiful day, but then like go into like, you know, a bigger subject, you know, that really like fills your heart and your mind and makes you think, you know, for a little bit longer, and then you pass that on to the next person. And strangers are nice to each other. You know, that's a thing. You know, like, yeah, I think everybody kind of looks like they're like, yeah, there's locals, but then there's also new people, but somehow it kind of all meshes together. Do you see that?
Well, yeah, and it's changed in the last 20 years for sure, where that divide of like locals versus other people.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's gotten interbreeding and, you know, worked at Organic Valley
or yeah,
had their
true.
Kids at the weird schools. And, you know, so I think a lot of that's dissipated to a certain extent.
Yeah, there still is there. I mean, it's still there, of course. But, you know, our similarities are stronger than our differences.
Yeah, you know? It's true. to me, one of the beautiful things is just knowing, you know, since it's a small pond, you do know people. And like a lot of people in the city, I was having dinner with someone last night who was like, well, yeah, we got this great co-op, but I don't know anyone there. You know, like I don't, since it's such a big community they serve, you don't, you know, so it's kind of just as alienating as going to any other store. Whereas here, it's pretty difficult to walk through that place if you've lived here for a little while without seeing someone and having some sort of conversation.
Yeah. You kind of almost have to, if you're like a community figure like yourself, Eddie, you know, you know, it's, you got to kind of pick your times of depending if you want to talk or not, if you're feeling social, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I recommend early in the morning for a time that you can kind of zip in and zip out. But if you get into like the 8:30 time, you're in for a good long conversation.
Yeah, or right after school.
Everybody going in for the sushi on Wednesdays.
Now that's pretty cool. I think they're really rocking it because I'm amazed at how many people are walking out with sushi.
Well, why not? Well, I think that, you know, you're kind of hitting something on the head there with, you know, probably something I noticed back in the Madison area is, it's like you can have a co-op and you can have the various things that where you maybe go every day, but still you don't know as many people. So it kind of washes it out a little bit, you know? So here it's like, yeah, it's concentrated. There's interesting people. There's, I've always said, like, you know, gosh, I don't really even need to leave Viroqua. I have arts, culture, great schools, great food, great people, great nature.
And music,
yes.
So in 2016, you moved here from your job at Stoughton.
That's right.
And tell me about the progression of your involvement in the music scene here.
Yeah, well, you know, it actually... You know, when I got to the area, it wasn't, there was a handful of people that knew my background, you know, and what I was able to accomplish with my coworkers. I'm not going to do it all by myself. You know, it took a community to build the Opera House in Stoughton, and it's still going strong. I recommend looking at the website because it's got some great shows coming up. But beyond that, I came into town, and before you knew it, I have people kind of going, "Hey, you know, I run this music festival. You know, maybe you could be helpful." And that was happened to be Charlie Knorr, you know, of Fourth Stream, and that was the Driftless.
Fourth Stream, for those who don't know, is what?
It's a nonprofit that basically is the umbrella for the Driftless Music Festival and Live in Viroqua.
Which takes place on Court Street.
That's correct.
Every other Saturday throughout the summer.
Yeah. So, but Live in Viroqua was kind of a later iteration of, it was just basically a growth out of COVID, essentially. But the Driftless Music Festival. So Charlie kind of brought me in, took me under his wing and showed me around and helped me meet people. And then there was this other gentleman named Eddie Nix at the Driftless Books and Music. And he was really gearing up and doing lots of music. And, you know, and I just dove right in, you know, just kind of just allowed myself to be immersed into the community and get to know as many people and as I could. And then I also, maybe this was taught to me at a young age or maybe it should be taught to everybody, but, you know, if you know how to do something, you can apply it to your community, you know, like whether it's part of it is just showing up, right? You know, that's one thing. But I did know how to book bands and negotiate that and do logistics and marketing and handle money and be fair and find the right sound that, you know, run all the things that need to have a successful event. And so I just kind of applied all those things and kind of wedged it into how it works here, trying to find ways of being like more efficient or being more straight, you know, or more of it. You know, that's the other thing. It's like the more the things are going on, the more lively it seems, and the more enjoyment that people have, you know, living in their community too.
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where there's so much music.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
I'm glad you say that. You know, amazing is the word, because some people say, oh, it's over too much. But I actually take this application of when I was living in, or, you know, working in Stoughton, I learned a lot there. But, you know, they were worried that because we're bringing more shows in, then there's new, more restaurants opening up and, you know, more businesses, and like that's going to be competition to the others. But it just allowed more variety, and it was just, it made it thrive to have more, makes more things happen. Good things happen.
Yeah, especially when it's arts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't go, oh, there's too much art in this town.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe in Mineral Point, but no.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, while kind of, you know, taking the Driftless Music Festival, learning everything that I could from, you know, that, and then learning how to, you know, run a nonprofit, you know, that was that with Forestream, and then of course all that Eddie taught me. You're here in the room. Hi, Eddie.
third person.
Third person, Eddie. And then what also this allowed is, like, I'm as being a musician, I was able to also play these same stages that I was starting to book. You know, not kind of, that's not the ancestral thing. It's just more like, does it fit for me to go there and, you know, work out some things, you know, 'cause I've always been a songwriter and like to sing and play. And, so found, got some stages and some, you know, a platform to be able to, you know, sing my musics.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Your own bands,
yeah.
Plural.
Yeah.
But the Live in Viroqua, let's talk about that. How long?
Yeah.
How many years has that been going?
Well, I think it was 2021.
Yeah.
You think so?
Right, post COVID. Yeah.
It might have been 2022. Might have been the first year. 2021 was the planning year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 years.
Yeah, and you know, started talking with. Okay, so Justin Miller, who works at the Fortney, he's got a head for this community stuff and also music, and he's a, you know, he's similar kind of thinking, you know, to what you do and what I do and why do we do it? I don't know. Like, maybe we'll address that later in the program, but he's just like, gosh, you know, they're restoring the Fortney. I'm working here. I look outside and go, gosh, wouldn't it be neat to have some music right here on Court Street? And, you know, he started talking to the, you know, to me and to you, and we're like, well, I might have a nonprofit that we could be able to make this happen under, you know. And before you knew it, we're booking a series that, you know, went between Railroad Avenue right outside the bookstore and right on Court Street. Mm-hmm. and made a series, started fundraising, kind of like made sure we had, you know, harmonic sounds, which is Shane Kuba, you know, because sound is so important. Don't ever skimp on sound, people out there in the, who's ever putting on events. It's just really important.
I've learned that lesson. And Shane is remarkable,
yeah,
as far as sound. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about some of the, you know, real powerhouses in this town that, like, yes, it's a rural community. You'd think you'd have like rural services, but no, we have like super professional, high end, you know, sound people, you know, chefs and, you know, artisans. And we have all these like people are at the top of their game, you know, living and working and right here in Viroqua. It's pretty amazing. And we fundraised. It was all, we want to make sure that we keep these events free because why not? You know, like, once you start charging people, then you are turning people away in a way. And we want to make, and that's part of our mission at Forestream is to make, you know, music accessible to all, you know, all ages.
And that was all funded pretty much through local businesses.
Yep. Local businesses and individual donations. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how we can fund the whole season to pay for sound, bands, porta potties, permits, all the things that have to, safety measures. Sometimes we have to have security, you know, it's not very often, just once in a while. you know, have to just make sure everybody's, and then also beer sales and whatnot. Beer sales have actually gone down in most recent years. Hmm. It's interesting. I think people are finding different ways to have a good time and or to, you know, to enjoy music. So that's just something that we're going to be addressing, you know, next year. We always try to improve year after year. But
how many people on average are coming to these Court Street events?
We say between 800 and 1,200.
Wow.
On Saturday nights.
Wow.
Every other Saturday. So there's eight in a series.
Mm-hmm.
And we also try to bring in different kinds of music, you know?
Yeah, what's the thinking behind the booking from your perspective? Well,
the thinking is definitely try to bring something new to the area, something that maybe hasn't been here before, but also something that has a draw, because we want to bring in visitors, you know, from out of town. There's people that, you know, came from Minneapolis or whatnot, or Minnesota to come to the Big Woo a couple Saturdays ago. And that was a huge show. McNasty Brass Band brought in a different crowd too. You know, I love brass music, so I'm going to go check that out. But and it's not just Americana, not just bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
We'll throw that in there too. But it's really to just expose our community and our visitors to different sounds and professional musicians, quality.
And to have a good party, right?
And yeah, we like to have a good party, have a good celebration.
So are you relying on many grants, or is this pretty self-sufficient in terms of the local businesses and individuals funding at least this part of it?
Yeah, we're not relying on any grants. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of grants out there for live music. But we are looking into grants for the future. Mm-hmm. But right now it's all self-sufficient and runs. We know how much we need to fundraise. We know how much beer we need to sell. We know how many people we need. I mean, we've gotten it down to a pretty good thing. If we have a rain out, it kind of puts a damper on our parade. But
yeah,
we try to make up for it.
Well, it's an amazing event. And if you are one of these Trustafarians out there that are, you know, worrying what to do with all your money, this would be a great organization to give it to. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think it's important to, you know, give to what is actually making, you know, moving the needle essentially. And there, it actually can be quantifiable. This is what I really, really like about these live music events, is like, there's actually an impact. It's not just we're having a party, and yes, but we're also helping the local businesses that support us. And the other businesses that don't support us, that's okay too, you know, but there's a real quantifiable number in this economic impact calculator through the American Arts Organization that has basically done all the metrics to where you can kind of put in like how many audience members have come into town, what period of time they were here, do they stay overnight, do they not, you know, because that's all, you know, impact, you know, of dollars spent in the community beyond the event itself. And our numbers just from our Live in Viroqua series, it's about $500,000
mm-hmm.
that's coming in for just those eight shows that we have right on Court Street, of money that's spent outside the event, at the gas station, at the co-op. Before you know it, they're getting on their phone and they're looking up real estate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're sadly disappointed. But it does draw people to town and really it just showcases what Viroqua is and what it has to offer. So
true. Well, we'll get into the rest later. We're going to take a little break here because we promised we would. This is Conversations. It's a one-hour conversation with someone. My name is Eddie Nix, and we'll be back with Christina Dahlhausen right after this.
Thank you.
we're back. that was Freddie Slack, his signature song, Strange Cargo, once again. just such a good song. Yeah, we were just discussing music and live music here with Christina Dahlhausen from Fourth Stream. If you're interested in writing out a check to a nonprofit, that would be the thing you put on the top line.
That's right.
So this Music on Court Street is evolving. It'll happen next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yep. Our last one is this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have Sophie Coyote and the Mae Simpson Band. And she's a powerhouse. I mean, it's a woman power night, but it's going to be fantastic. And it's our last one. And music starts at, well, we open the gates at 5. And music starts at 6 and go till about 9.
And you include a lot of local vendors, or at least food vendors.
Yep.
how does that come about? Is it?
I mean, that's also part of the beauty of how this is self-sustainable and feeds the economy is, you know, obviously there's 800,000 people on Court Street, and you know, maybe Lately's comes out with their tent and serving burgers or whatever, or jambalaya, or, you know, and Driftless Cafe and. And then other local food trucks, as well as, you know, some that are just like within the region, you know, but mm-hmm. that helps them stay afloat. That's where the crowd is. This is what they do best. And obviously we want to have good food at our fests.
Yeah. You know, using Eckert Park for that Driftless Music Festival is just such an awesome thing because mm-hmm. everyone who goes there, I think, feels, we should have more events here. And I know a couple of years ago there was... You know, the chamber was doing the night markets mm-hmm. and a few other kind of events that evolved in that space that aren't happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that there's a real need for more of a market type. You know, we have an awesome farmers market, obviously, on Saturdays. But those night markets were really great, you know, not only for the vendors, but for the community to come out and, you know, you didn't need a lot of mediation and a lot of stuff going on, but it was another way to have some music. So have you thought about that, expanding the Eckert Park?
I absolutely have thought about that, and Fourth Stream has.
Yeah.
I would say right now, as a volunteer organization, we're kind of at capacity. And you understand volunteering, you know, like you do everything that you can to do it as best as you can. But then it comes to a point of like, oh, I have to make money doing my other job, you know. so I actually have to, you know, because you have bills and whatnot. But if there was a way to, like, monetize Fourth Stream other communities actually across the country, like in Colorado and California, they actually hire a creative development coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about, like, the, you know, creative economy, you know, which is everything from live music to art to that actually like bring an income to the area. But if there was a way that, you know, if what we're doing actually makes sense for the city of Viroqua, and it's a valuable thing where it's actually, you can see an impact and, you know, money coming back in, and it keeps the community thriving and growing, then, you know, maybe it's something that's valuable to the city to invest in, or an organization to invest in, to be able to have these things happen. So I would totally expand out into Eckert Park, have a series out there. Maybe Thursday night seems pretty good. We have plenty of musicians and artists that want to play Viroqua. There's no shortage on that, and quality and great names that will draw. I mean, it's almost like too much. We can't quite figure out a way to fit them all in.
Oh, it's true. I mean, we've talked over the years all the time about the amount of emails that you and I get from mm-hmm. artists and promoters and managers. Just, I wish we could, you know, mm-hmm. but where?
Yeah.
It's great to see the Commons, or now they're going to be rebranded once again, called Arcadia.
Is that right?
With a K.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of back to the arc a little bit, mm-hmm. but also... sort of that idea of Arcadia in Greek mythology, I think, really is a good attempt to describe what people feel in this region.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of idyllic, you know, nature land. So that's exciting, and they're really up in the game there, I think, in bringing more musical acts in and trying different things out.
That's great.
Yeah. So then let's talk about Music in the Parks, which is another thing you have your fingers in.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a while, you were the development director for Vernon County. Is that the correct title?
Yeah. In 2018, you know, I got moved here in 2016. So 2018, there was a contracted position open at the county. First one of its time to do economic development. It was basically to start that department and have an economic development person there available at the county. Because there's lots of opportunities, you know.
And what does that mean, economic development? I mean, it's a big word.
But. It is a big word. It's like, I think the reason I'm attracted to big things like this is because there's really not a complete definition. I kind of like that they're it's kind of gray on the outside and it's not really well defined. It's like, and when I first got into that kind of work, you know, I started calling up other counties and communities and going, how do you do economic development? And they started listing off, here's all the assets that we have, and this is how you can grow these things. And you want to grow wealth within your community. And you also want to bring community development and quality of life. You know, like, what is economic development? So it's got all these things. But when I talk to these other communities, they do it specifically for their community. And it doesn't really match. You know, you have to kind of figure out where you are and what you do and how then you can be able to enhance that. And what Vernon County has is very different than what, you know, Iowa County has. Mm-hmm. And it's very different to what Dane County has. So you just have to do economic differently according to where you live and what your assets are.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And what were you able to do or able to see during those years?
Well, I was able to, you know, basically really identify our strengths, you know, which is, you know, our small town communities and our, you know, DIY authentic kind of attitude and way, you know, which is attractive to people. And I also was able to identify, you know, what draws people. Now, of course, because we want to do it, our tourism industry, you know, is actually huge. We have all the great outdoor recreation and, you know, with the
what were the kayaking. Numbers, do you know, for that they estimated, like, what tourism is in Vernon County in a year? Is there any?
Well, it was like 1.8 billion or something. Was it billion? Was it million?
I think it was Seven? Something like crazy like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's huge. It's one of our top three reasons why, you know, like reasons of our economic prosperity is tourism and agriculture and manufacturing, I think, is the third. But those are the three things that are actually making an impact on this area. And those are the things you should focus on. When I think about tourism, you know, yes, I could take a picture of a pretty sunset, but does that draw people here? Or do people actually want to see people like thriving in their community and children that are safe and healthy and happy? And, you know, like, we want that. That's, you know, that's the image. And that's what we got going on here. So, and when I thought about tourism, you know, I think I was doing economic development here's just like in 2018, we had the huge floods. Do you remember that, guys?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And so I started economic development, and then like 2 months later, all the communities essentially flooded out. And then I'm like, wow, I don't even have an economy to develop. We have to just dig ourselves out of this. So I kind of thought of it, oh, here we got a blank slate. That's great. Mm. So started working with the other communities, trying to find grants for the communities and various businesses, helping them grow, helping them start. You know, there's lots of resources out there. So I started gathering all those things and consulting with various communities. And then in 2020, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So yet again, another hit on our economy. Then you have to get creative, you know?
Yeah.
I can work with these businesses. I can try to figure out all the grants and the money to kind of keep them afloat until, like, they can open their doors again. Or I can dig deep into what I know how to do. And what I knew how to do was, I can put on events. I know musicians. I'm a musician myself. This draws people. People need to get out of their houses. Mm. People need to feel like they're part of the community. And that's when Music in the Parks actually started. It kind of came to me in a dream. I was like, where can we find a place that we can spread out? We can bring musicians. Musicians can bring their own equipment, so we don't have to like switch up microphones or put wet wipes and, you know, whatever else to try to keep things going. And the two parks in Vernon County that have electric is Eusophia and Sidey Hollow. Mm. And also at that same time, the Friends of Vernon County Parks were getting underway. So that nonprofit essentially. So that's how the money can flow through. Mm-hmm. And you know, in 2020, that's where we started it. Just like went from park to park on Wednesday nights because that seemed like a good night to do it. And you know, we had Lou Shields and Jay Hoffman and the Iowans, which is one of my bands, and I can't remember the other one. But you know, basically, people came with their lawn chairs. They could spread out. It was a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to gather and also experience, you know, nature and live music. And then these musicians came and we passed the hat and, you know, they came out $200-$400 a head. Not too bad for a Wednesday night for a traveling musician who's also not getting paid. So
that's
that was pretty special. And then we just kept it up and started doing it every single Wednesday, June, July, August. And that's been going since 2021. So, and we just had our last one last night. Old Soul Society came in.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic and really great vibe. And, you know, yet again, another, you know, 400 people or so in Vernon County in a park on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
All different kinds of people too.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the beautiful things. Like there's no imagined divide in the community when you're 500 people sitting there listening to music on lawn chairs.
Yeah.
And it really is a beautiful part of it, you know, mm-hmm. just.
Mm. Yeah. I know it might be cliche to say, but music is the ultimate connector. It truly is. Like, and I'm not like, I'm not saying I'm running a social experiment, but I sometimes think I'm watching it happen, mm-hmm. you know, of like these, you know, there's the Viroqua area folks, you know, that has like the divides and like the conversations and sometimes the arguments. But, you know, those people that are talking online are showing up to the music and they don't even know that they have differences. But they, one thing they can agree on is, you know, this beautiful place that they live as well as, you know, music,
yeah.
you know, it's a great place to hang out. It's a highlight of the summer.
And there's so many communities that just are art poor and music poor, like good luck finding live music in this town, you know, so yeah. we're so lucky, especially yeah. for those two events, the Court Street and the Music in the Parks.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on next year and what may expand or or how you want to?
I think it'd be so cool to have like our own sound system, you know, for Music in the Parks, that for the Friends can potentially purchase that. Mm. We have electrical upgrades at Sidey, and so we could bring in like bigger bands at Sidey if we really wanted to
yeah.
go for it. So we could expand, and but I'll start booking that in you know around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from Live in Viroqua, Driftless Music Festival, and Music in the Parks, and I'm not booking alone. I have groups of people that I'm like, what do you think of this one? And anyways.
And what about other vendors besides food? Are you thinking about bringing more of that in, or is that just a different?
I'd be all about like, you know, bringing in artists, and we do have, you know, like One-Eyed Cats comes around and has mm-hmm. buttons and Art Girl Pottery, you know, so we do have some, you know, artists that mm-hmm. come around. I'd love to encourage them to come and children to come too, to, you know, just like the farmer's market has a children's day. I think that'd be really fun to have like at Music in the Parks. That's like the right space for it. Live in Viroqua gets a little bit busy, you know, mm-hmm. where maybe that won't be as, you know, prominent. So
sure. Normalize, lemonade stands, right?
Yes, that's right.
It's my favorite thing. I mean, I love seeing those live, you know, lemonade stands around town with these kids just so geared up to,
yeah. I've seen them get really creative, very, very Viroqua, where they will, you know, they'll add like lilac, you know, they'll pick the lilacs and then they'll, you know, diffuse them down. And, you know, before you know it, it's lilac lemonade.
Yeah,
very creative.
Mm.
Gourmet.
So then let's talk about music.
Yes.
Some more.
It's my favorite subject.
Yeah,
you're
in a few bands.
Mm-hmm.
Let's the Iowans.
Yeah.
You and your cousin Katie.
That's right.
And that's a few years old.
Definitely. That is a few years. Yeah. When I got to town, you know, like Katie and I, she lives here or lived here, and we always played music together, and then you know had an opportunity to play at the bookstore, you know. As the Iowans, yeah, we played, you know, nursing homes and things like that. But then the bookstore was our big break, and you know, thanks to you, Eddie, to, and I think you allowed a lot of, you know, developing musicians, you know, that break and that opportunity. And that's like, we might be putting on shows at Live in Viroqua and at Driftless Music Festival and Music in the Parks and doing all that. We're putting on shows, but we're also developing musicians right here in the Viroqua area. And thanks to stages like, you know, the bookstore and the farmer's market and open mics down at the Old Oak, you know, like.
And the Fortney, I was there for their last one, and it was just awesome,
yeah.
You know, to see all these local folks just, you know, getting past that fear and getting up on that stage. And,
yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
It is. And that's what it takes. And then you'd have to, and you have an encouraging crowd there too that's saying, yeah, you did great, you know, and you learn from your, oh, I dropped the D and I didn't bring it back up. Shit, you know, shoot, sorry. And but anyways, you learn from your mistakes and you keep growing that craft. And you know, it's I don't know. I'm so glad I have music in my life. And so basically, yeah, the Iowans, they it's Katie and I, and Katie, she plays clawhammer banjo. I play guitar. We sing my original songs. And a few years ago, we started to play bigger gigs, and we're like, yeah, we probably need to fill out our sound a little bit. And so we brought in John Madura on violin. He's like got a master's in violin, and Matt Gruey, who plays a very interesting bass. It's not your like bluegrassy bass at all. It's some kind of eclectic jazz bass. So basically now we have some kind of orchestral folk Americana jazz fusion band that is truly made our own sound, you know, with the Iowans. And we're playing Boogie Down in September and playing on the big stage. And
excellent.
We've also had the opportunity to play the Stoughton Opera House. I know that, you know, maybe I had an in there, but at the same time, what an opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
So we got a pretty, pretty nice, well-oiled machine there.
And you mentioned the Boogie Down, which is the mm-hmm. Driftless Music Gardens.
That's right.
Out there in Yuba.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, what a blessing that is to have like real live music festivals. Wow, you know, 15 minutes away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
And those guys are killing it, you know, really, really great.
I can tell that they did a similar, I mean, I'm not like the Driftless Music Gardens or anything, but they decided just to focus on music.
Yeah.
And when they decided, and whatever that means, whether it's artist development, whether it's putting on a music festival, whether it's bringing people to town that are music related, when you focus on that, you know, good things start coming your way.
Mm.
And you know, basically builds the ecosystem, you know, the musical ecosystem is what we're trying to build.
And places like Larry Fest, you know,
oh, yeah.
which are just epic in their, you know,
mm-hmm. yep.
history.
Yeah.
We are really blessed. So another band you're in is Lucy Stone.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. And if you're just listening, which you all are, Lucy is spelt
Loosey.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But it's a rip on
Lucy, Lucy Stone, yeah. who is a major player in the suffragist movement and actually lived in Viroqua, I believe, for a little while. But yeah, she's a hero and, you know, great name and great way to kind of tie in a little history because we're a local band and it's myself and Dave Bruce, who's part of the Freaks of Nature and his daughter, Rose Bruce, and Adrian Hudson, who's the bass player for many different bands. But we're a four-piece acoustic outfit, original songs. Rose is a writer, and I'm a writer, and we just somehow it just works, and we sing three-part harmony, and we have there's mandolin and a couple guitars, stand-up bass, dulcimer. We're playing tomorrow night at Sittin' Pretty.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
okay,
5:30. Good. My parents are going to be there. Come on out, everybody.
Oh.
They're really nice people.
Oh.
Jan and Jean,
Plague
and Pool.
They are so sweet.
Yeah.
And Sittin' Pretty, for those of you who don't know.
That's another one.
An amazing project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, it's Steve out there, actually another fellow Iowan, but he basically, you know, bought that property and has been, you know, working with the local Amish and other folks and gathering reclaimed material, and he's put together this, basically this, you know, hall that has a wood-fired pizza oven in there. And the beautiful thing about this is every Friday is pizza, where you can come out there and have, you know, some of the wood-fired pizza, but a local nonprofit works that night, you know, serving the pizza, cooking the pizza and whatnot. And then they walk away with, it's like a fundraiser for their nonprofit.
Yeah.
So every single Friday, it's putting money back into these nonprofits that are doing good things for our community. It's this lovely cyclical situation that I just really admire that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he could pocket that money or whatever and make it, but he's finding that, you know, that's the way to do it, you know?
And it's amazing. We did it for the Vernon County Historical Society.
Yeah.
And I'm on the board of that group. So I was helping I was bartending that night.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing it again for them. But yeah, seeing the amount of nonprofits that are benefiting from that, it's really great. So what a model that other communities, you know, should really look into.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy Stone.
Yes.
Just, you know, as weird Viroqua history goes.
Do tell.
Well, yeah, you know, so there's the great downtown right across from the new apartment complex there.
Behind the Verizon store?
Yeah, right. yes, there's this little Pioneer Cemetery, it's called, where the real old gravestones there. And there's this beautiful plaque that commemorates when Lucy Stone came to town. And it was a big rally for women's rights and for suffrage. And she had the crowd riled up, and the stage collapsed.
That's right.
Right there with her on it. And she got up and made some awesome statement, you know, like, as the country falls, we must, you know, get up and, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Just so inspiring. But yeah, one time her and her, I don't know if they were husband or just partner, bought up a very significant portion of the land around here. I mean, we're talking mid 1800s or something, very early on. They owned a huge tract. I don't know if it was hundreds or thousands of acres or what, but yeah, quite an amazing. And then they ended up moving away, but she really was one of those, you know, Elizabeth Stanton and, you know, the real early feminists. She was part of that gang. Yeah.
Well, that's a great like piece of just even like Viroqua history, is that there has been super strong women that have leaders, you know, that have come through this area that, you know, that really shone and really like stood up for what they believed in. And for a small town like that, a rural small town, to have as many leaders, I mean, I can't name them all off, you know, but it's, yeah, go to the historical museum and, you know,
yeah,
learn about that.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people to sort of dig around the internet and try to go to the museum and look things up. There's a couple biographies about her that are certainly worth reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
Another shout out is the Viroqua Women's Literary Society.
Oh, yes.
Which hardly anyone knows about because it's definitely very old school, you know. But they are the longest women's literary society in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they started right around 1900. This woman, Mae McKittrick, who is a teacher, came back from Ohio and started this group, and they studied Shakespeare for the first 5 years or so. And they would have it in different ladies' houses every week.
Mm-hmm.
And the journals and notes from all those early meetings are all at the museum. So you can actually look through and go, oh, Sunday, 1920, they were studying Macbeth, you know,
yeah,
at Nelson's house. You know, it's like, wow. But they're still going.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it I haven't. I actually got to speak in front of them. You know, I don't know, five, six years ago, about Shakespeare. Strangely enough,
really?
And they were all just such sweet ladies. And I just went, oh man, I hope you start inviting some younger ladies in because this is really an important group. So if you're listening out there, ladies, and you have a bent for literary things, go find these ladies and let's make that continue for another couple decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, or generations.
I think it's important to bring in the young to understand, like, why we do these things. Like, people have trusted my crazy ideas, and that's why we've been able to, like, and they go, oh, that's not too bad. That's not too crazy, you know? And so we can put on these music things And then, but most recently, I've been like employing like the wonderful kids that come to all these music events and like having them help out, you know, why and telling them why we do this, you know, and they're so excited about it, you know.
Oh yeah, they get to participate and be part of it. It's the best experience for a kid, for sure.
Yeah, so bring in the youngs to, you know, help us keep these wonderful things like the literary club and you know and the live music scene.
And all of the various boards of nonprofits, which are always very tenuous, no matter how long they've been there. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a couple of wrong people in and suddenly everything's going south. And, you know, so, you know, if you are in the community and you've just moved here in the last few years and you're looking for a way to sort of plug into the community, there are a whole bunch of nonprofit boards that, you know, I think really need new energy in them always. Mm-hmm. But, you know, including, you know, the few that I'm, you know, part of, the museum, you know, it's a great organization, the County Historical Society.
Yeah, like the Friends of Vernon County Parks, you know, whether you want to help with the trails or help put on, you know, the events, you know, like we need all types of wonderful people and Fourth Stream, you know, live music, find, you know, where your passion is, find what you are, where you can be able to contribute, you know, and it's really not that many hours and it feels good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, let's, ask the final question. Yeah. What's next?
Blue. No. What's next? Well, like I said, we're just finishing up when it comes to music and the community. We're just kind of finishing up our summer season. Would love to find more places that host indoor shows for the summer to kind of keep some revenue going to continue to feed back what we do. Personally, for me, you know, I have a mission of just like really making music. It's not just arts and not just fluffy. It's actually, I want to continue to build like music ecosystems. And I don't know if there would ever be a position open at the state of Wisconsin that, you know, like a music
czar.
Music czar. Can I do that? Yes. Yeah, is that a position? I think it should be because there's so much to be said and it can be quantifiable.
It's so true. And we have such an amazing musical heritage in this state, you know, not only historically, but like what's going on now. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And especially around Viroqua, it's like, wow, you know, there's a lot of musicians that have moved to this area. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them don't want to be out there with, you know, with their sign saying, this is who I am because they're,
but they're here. I've seen them.
Yeah.
They're really sneaky.
They're
so sneaky. Yeah. They're so talented.
They are. Well, we're going to end this. This has been Conversations with Christina Dahlhausen. And thank you so much for being here. You're tuned to 91.9 FM in Viroqua, WDRT. Stay tuned for Que Sera, Sera. And we'll see you next month.